Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Get the scuttlebutt on your favorite teams here on The Fan.
Big Monagle here with you on The Fan. I got you for one more hour as we take you to 5 o'clock in the warm-up show. 888-808-1019. Coming off another ugly night of baseball as the New York Yankees fall to the Cincinnati Reds 6-1. You just heard Marco talk about it. 0-for-12 with runners in scoring position. They left 9 men on base. They had every opportunity to explode in this game. Judge in the first inning hits a bomb of a home run, and that is it. That is your New York Yankee offense for the evening. When they had multiple opportunities, whether it's, you know, runners, they had two separate situations with a runner at third and less than 2 outs, unable to get him home from Dominguez and from Stanton. First and second, leadoff doubles that go nowhere, just an out and out disaster with runners in scoring position. And that has been really the problem for both of these teams. I know, and I just heard from Mendoza about the starting pitching, and it's put them in a spot where they fall behind. I understand that. I don't care. What do you expect from Paul Blackburn? I know that this rotation has been pulling rabbits out of their hats for a full year. I get that. And I've been critical and then shocked, and I've stopped being critical because this pitching lab, or whatever we want to call it, has done an incredible job. And this rotation has been one of, if not the best, in all of baseball this season. But I'm sorry. How long can we expect it to continue? What do we expect from Paul Blackburn? 4 2/3 innings of 1 of 3-run baseball against the Atlanta Braves is pretty much what you can expect from Paul Blackburn. That is good enough. This team is built with offense. Plain and simple. This team is built to be an offensive team. It's built to have Soto. It's built to have Lindor. It's built to have Alonso. That's where their money is. That's where their star players are. And then they think that they're really smart, and so far, how could you argue that they're really smart and good with finding pitchers, whether having previously great seasons and on the decline and finding a way to turn the clock back, like Manaea and Severino, and hopefully tomorrow's starting pitcher, Frankie Montas, or whether it's finding guys like Griffin Canning and getting the best out of him by tweaking a couple of things, or transitioning relievers like Clay Holmes that you see something into in a starting pitcher. Like, they have done a remarkable job of it, but that is it. This rotation is built to supplement an offense. That's where they put their money in. Pete Alonso's making more money this year than any first baseman in baseball. We all know how much money Juan Soto got. Lindor's a $300 million man. Nimmo's making big money. This team is supposed to score a ton of runs. They're supposed to have depth and youth, and so far, obviously, disaster, as Alvarez has been sent down, Acuna's been sent down, Beatty's not hitting, Mauricio looks completely overmatched. They're waiting for Vientos, who didn't get off to nearly the same kind of production that he had all of last year, but you're waiting desperately to get him back, and it sounds like they need a couple more rehab games before they send him back to the lineup, and God knows they desperately need him to play third base every day. They got, guys like Young in the middle of the lineup or back end of the lineup as your left-handed DH because Winker's down and they don't want to play Marte. But overall, this is supposed to be a lineup that drives the team, and the rotation's supposed to be just good enough to supplement it. That's how this team is built. It's not built on, we're going to create the greatest rotation in history out of the scrap heap. No. It's supposed to be good enough. to back up what is the strength of your team, the offense, and the strength of this team is nowhere near the offense, and particularly with runners in scoring position, it's absolutely killed them all year. The New York Mets are 29th in batting average with runners in scoring position. They hit .214 all year. That is the 29th best record, or the best average in all of baseball. Only worse is the Chicago White Sox all year long, and in the last 13 games, they're hitting .173. That's the problem. Sure, yeah, they fall behind and the at-bats change because their approach either changes or they can't drive in runs. And this has been an issue all year. And now that the pitching is starting to show its cracks, it has done nothing but expose what the real issue of this team is. Lackluster offense. Poor runners in scoring position offense. And I know last night you have the moment with Juan Soto. He strikes out in the eighth inning with an opportunity with two outs, runners on first and third. He also hit the two-run home run. He's carrying the team right now. He is pretty much their only offense. Over the last two games, you have a meaningless late home run from Lindor, which ended the streak of, 28 games, victories of Lindor home runs. If Lindor hit a home run, they won 28 consecutive games. That is now over with yesterday's home run, and now, or 2 days ago, Sunday's home run. And now last night, you get the two-run home run from Juan Soto in the sixth. That's it. That is the offense over the last two games. After the explosion of Saturday's game with all those home runs, all those solo shots, and scoring 11 runs, they have followed it up with an absolute ineptitude couple of days of not scoring any runs. And if you look at this stretch of 9 out of 10, yes, the starting pitching is starting to falter. Yes, it's not been as good as it's been for the last year. But the reason they are losing these games is their offense is putrid. When it comes to hitting with runners in scoring position, at the very least. And right now, it just feels bad all around. As clearly, Alonso, who in the last 10 games, as the Mets are nine losses in those 10 games, he's got two extra base hits, one RBI, and he struck out 16 times. And they have now allowed the Braves to come into their building, which was, and you know, so far still is, the best home field advantage in all of baseball. They've been swept by the Rays over Father's Day weekend, and now they welcome in the Braves, lose 3-2 while the Braves are making base running mistakes in the first. Braves themselves don't get runners in from third base with less than two outs. They're giving the Mets every opportunity to win this game. The Mets bullpen comes in and does the job and keeps it at three. And this offense just right now is not good enough. And they've got too many outs at the bottom of the order. The manager had to come out. The manager admitted it. They're being too heavily reliant on the top of the order. It's not going to do it every night. And right now, Lindor and Soto are struggling. Why Young is still in this lineup, I have no idea. And right now, they just, the Atlanta Braves, after losing 2 of 3 to the Miami Marlins, show up to Citi Field, with Schwellenbach, who they saw last week, and they still have miserable at-bats. They had three innings with runners in scoring, with runners on base. That's it. 3 of 9. And now they have a pitching matchup tomorrow that's almost as bad, with Frankie Montas making his first start of the year. Off of, just god-awful rehab assignment pitching. Now, again, I don't know. I don't put too much on it. Like, we're kind of being told, well, it's a spring training, and no one cares about spring training numbers, so what's the difference? Now he's going to pitch. We'll see if the bright lights of the season do anything for Frankie Montas, but he's pitching to a 12 ERA in his rehab assignments off of the shoulder strain, or off of the lat strain. And now he's going against Spencer Strider, who's been really good his last two starts, including last week against the Mets. And a team right now that just seems, whether it's all the, Acuna killing them and dancing around. And, the Braves have a good time when they play the Mets. Braves have a good old time when they play the Mets. Nothing has changed. The more things change, the more they stay the same when it comes to the Mets and the Braves. And then you get to the Yankees, who themselves were miserable with runners in scoring position, 0 for 12 in this game. Anthony Volpe continues to just kill them. Giancarlo Stanton had three strikeouts in this game that absolutely killed them. And after an early home run from Aaron Judge, do nothing this entire game. They got a spot start from Winings, who, you know, isn't a major league pitcher. They're forced to do it with the injury to Ryan Yarbrough. And they have opportunity after opportunity early in this game to tack on, build a lead. Instead, they can't do it because they're terrible with runners in scoring position at the moment. And then the Reds find a way to scratch across some runs. Ellie De La Cruz has an incredible game. He's got a triple. He's got a homer. He's got a single. He had one of those games where his talent just oozes off the screen, which, by the way, I hate, like, when the teams have these unique or, like, slightly different camera angles, I don't know why, but as, like, a huge baseball fan, and I watch, you know, baseball games all over the place, the camera angle with the Texas Rangers and the camera angle for the Cincinnati Reds sucks. I can't stand watching the game directly behind the starting pitcher. But, I mean, they've just continued to be miserable offensively as well. The difference is, though, the only difference is that right now the Yankees are struggling with running the scoring position, but it hasn't been their problem all year long. In the month of April, they were the fourth best team with runners in scoring position. In May, they were the second best team. Right now, they're the 17th. And over the last handful of games, they're hitting under 200 as well with runners in scoring position. They have done all of the things. What's frustrating for me watching the New York Yankees as a Yankee fan is to start this season, right? As much as I thought it was overblown with the Yankees are bad at baseball, I think it's contradictory to say they're bad at baseball while they're playing in the World Series. I just think it is. Now, that doesn't stand to say that they didn't have an issue with their base running. They didn't have an issue with their defense. They certainly did. But they took that to heart and went and made changes, especially after Juan Soto chose the New York Mets. They went out and made changes. And for the first 70 games of this year, with Goldschmidt and Bellinger and, you know, Dominguez and, you know, Jazz having a full year and starting the year with them, like, a lot of the stuff did change. They lead Major League Baseball with least amount of outs on the base paths. They have been a far better base running team. They take the extra base at a much better clip than they did last year. First to third at a much better clip than they did last year. They're far more athletic. They beat out ground balls much better than they did last year. They've been more, you know, fundamentally sound than they were last year. They've been better defensively last year. In the outfield, when they play Bellinger, Grisham, and Judge, that could be the best defensive outfield in the sport. Goldschmidt has been an enormous upgrade over Rizzo at first base. They have been better at these things. Again, April, fourth best team with runners in scoring position. In May, the second best team with runners in scoring position. They lead all of Major League Baseball in sacrifice flies. They have done these little things better. Not great, not the best in baseball, not suddenly all our problems are over, but far better over the first 70 games of the year. And now, after that Red Sox series, and obviously during the Red Sox series, as they really started to struggle and their game hit the skids a little bit, all of these problems are resurfacing. And that's what bothers me the most. Because not that I thought they were necessarily far behind them or that this team was incapable of making those mistakes. It's just frustrating to watch this team revert back to some of their issues right as they're struggling. And in this game in particular, Volpe makes a killer error, but that game was well decided by then. They don't hit with runners in scoring position at the moment, and they are playing poor fundamental baseball. They can't get down bunts. They can't hit. They can't get the runner in from third. That has been a problem since the Red Sox series, certainly into the Angels series. And now with this first game, after taking 2 of 3 from Baltimore, they head into Cincinnati and get shut down by Lodolo after giving up a home run in the first inning and have him on the ropes a bunch. He can't get through the fifth. They're into this Cincinnati bullpen in the fifth inning because they're having good at-bats, and they're making the starter work, and they're getting runners on. They can't cash in, and it's become this, you know, self-fulfilling prophecy. It's become contagious. It seems like everyone, anytime they just need to put the ball in play, they struck out 14 times last night. And It's just been an ugly stretch of baseball from both these teams. But having said that, I'm still not in panic mode. It's 9 out of 10 for the New York Mets. They are now two games in the loss column behind the Phillies. The Yankees with the Tampa Bay Rays idol are now two games in the loss column up on the Tampa Bay Rays after being up by 7 over the Rays just a week ago. But I still believe both of these teams are the two best teams in their division. Certainly the Yankees because of the competition, not because they're so great. But certainly the Phillies are the best of the competition in both either division. I think the Yankees are clearly the best team in the division. I fully expect them to win this division, but they need to get their act together. And right now, even though I'm going to give them a break a little bit, they won the last series. They still have two more games. They got Carlos Rodon on the mound today against a big-time prospect for the Cincinnati Reds, who's making his major league debut, and Chase Burns. They believe in this kid. Apparently he throws 98, 99 miles an hour. He's got good stuff. He's got really good numbers this year in the minor leagues, and we'll see what he's made of. But that should be a win. Carlos Rodon, who's been the Yankees' second-best pitcher this year, a guy who's, you know, outside of maybe two or three starts, been really solid for them this year, been a different guy, not nearly as susceptible to the big inning, not nearly as susceptible of the moment spinning out of control. He's been far better at that this year. He's been really good. The strikeout numbers are good. Him against a rookie, I don't care how highly touted it is. Him against a rookie in that ballpark with this Yankee offense, the Yankees should go out and win this game. And if they can win this game and take 2 out of 3, we forget last night and we keep plugging away winning series. But there's no mistaking the funk both of these offenses are in. And to me, that's what it's about. The Yankees have continued to pitch great. And while, yes, the Mets pitching is faltering and clearly it's an issue, it's not why they're losing. And the other aspect of both of these teams dealing with is the failures of their young kids. Because obviously, Volpe right now, who's going through it, swung and missed twice. I don't know if I've ever seen it twice in a game. Swung and missed twice where the bat went flying into the stands. Twice. He's 0 for 4 in this game. He came up with 2 outs in the 8th, I think, 2 outs with runners in first and second. Hits a ground ball to first base. He's striking out. He's been just awful. And I know he got 3 hits and a home run on Saturday, and then they sat him on Sunday. If you have a problem with that, just literally, just don't tell anybody because you're going to sound like an idiot. I'm sorry. The entire fan base is screaming at the high heavens to give the guy a day off. I'm begging you, please give Volpe a day off. Give Volpe a day off. They play him on Saturday instead of giving him the day off on Saturday. They announce he's going to get the day off on Sunday. They choose that because he's got good numbers against Eflin. And when they're right and he gets 3 hits, they're still wrong because they sat him the next day. You're crazy. And the idea that, you know, oh, he's hot. You don't want to sit him. Hot. He was 0 for 25. He got 3 hits and now he's hot. He's been a major disappointment and the Mets are sending down everybody. Alvarez gets sent down. Acuna gets sent down. Beatty has 2 hits in this game last night, but hasn't really hit all that much. You've got Mauricio, who looks overmatched, other than a couple of at-bats against the lousy Colorado Rockies. Like, Wells really isn't doing any for the Yankees. Dominguez came up in key spots last night, couldn't do a damn thing. Like, not only are they struggling, not only their offense is struggling, not only are they in big-time losing streaks, but the future of the organization, you know, certainly for the Mets, was so, so strong. I mean, Soto chose it over the pinstripes. And yet, Beatty can't hit. Acuna didn't really get too much of an opportunity, but had an OPS under 600. He's been sent down. The top prospect in all of baseball, their catcher Alvarez, has been sent down, obviously, and we'll see how long that's for, see how much retooling they want to do with them, or if it's just kind of a get your confidence spot and get back. But whatever the case may be, you've got Mauricio, who's probably going to get sent down once Vientos is back. And Vientos, even off of last year, which was incredible, I expect him to bounce back a little bit, but got off to a miserable start this year. So there's no answers there. There are no answers coming. You have to wait for July for the trade deadline, and both of these teams are going through it right now.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Speak your mind. 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream the NFL on CBS live on Paramount Plus.
All right, 431, McMonagle here with you on The Fan. So I just saw a story that I find really interesting. Fernando Tatis, and I remember this, Real Sports with Brian Gumbel did a feature on this company. And pretty much this company, and it's called Big League Advance, is the name of this company. And what they do is they find baseball prospects. I think it's not just limited to baseball, but they find, let's just say it is for this argument, but they find prospects in these sports and they offer them loans for a percentage of their future earnings. Like if they believe in a young prospect, they take a chance on them and they'll give them a loan up front, sign a contract, and they'll get a percentage of the future earnings of that prospect. And I remember watching the story with Brian Gumbel and featuring Fernando Tatis. So Fernando Tatis signed this contract at 17 years old. At 17 years old, he took a $2 million loan from Big League Advance with the promise of 10% of his future major league earnings. Now, I think it's limited to the major leagues. I don't think anything outside of playing baseball, but it's limited to his, I believe it is. I'm not 100% positive, but I think that's what I remember. But, and as I'm reading here, but he took a $2 million loan and he's guaranteed, and he promised them 10% of his contract. Of any future earnings. And obviously, a couple years ago, he signed a $324 million contract with the San Diego Padres. So he owes them $34 million. Yesterday, he filed a lawsuit against them to reverse this deal, to get out of the deal. And I just think it's interesting because on one hand, Fernando Tatis' father was a Major League Baseball player. I could understand, like, I don't know the situation, and I could understand a lot of young kids, and it feels like you're kind of, you know, it feels kind of dirty to go to young prospects and you make them sign this terrible deal, and then, you know, they become these superstars and they owe you these millions of dollars, but they're also prospects who never make it to anywhere, and they're given this money, and this company is out if those prospects never make it in baseball. I mean, we were just talking about all these kids coming out. You know, Alvarez was the top prospect in all baseball, and now he's down in the minor leagues again after, you know, having a 500, a 600 OPS. But they did give him a $2 million loan when he was 17 years old, and he signed the contract. So I'm curious to see how this thing goes. The only reason why I'm so curious about it is I remember watching it on Brian Gumbel and thinking that's an interesting idea. It's like investing in the stock market in some way. You find a prospect, I remember watching it, they had their own like team and they were, you know, diving deep into the numbers and they were picking specific prospects that they believed would have great major league careers, and they would go and see if they wanted to take out a loan with promises of, you know, returning it 10 times, you know, 10 times over, or, you know, whatever, 10% of your future earnings. And now Fernando Tatis is suing to get out of the deal. And it does feel a little bit like you're preying on young kids who could use some money, you know, toiling away in minor leagues and buses and everything else that's going on with it. And, you know, not everybody gets these great contracts. I know Jason Dominguez signed a $5 million deal. They don't get that kind of money. So you could be helping families. You could be helping people up front while they're playing minor league baseball and not making any money. But at the same time, for $2 million, he's got to pay back $34. Now he's making $340. But that's an interesting case. And Fernando Tatis was quoted, "I'm fighting this battle, not just for myself, but for everyone still chasing their dream and hoping to provide a better life for their family. I want to help protect those young players who don't know how to protect themselves from these predatory lenders and illegal financial schemes. Kids' focus should be on their passion for baseball, not dodging shady business deals. I can understand that thought process, but at the same time, you signed a contract and you did get money up front to help you through whatever kind of situation you might be in. Interesting. I just saw it right now. I'm interested to see how that ends up. He's filing a lawsuit to null and void the deal. 888-808-1019. McMonagle here with you on The Fan. Let's get back to the calls. Brett in Long Island. What's up, Brett?
Hey, Chris. I have no problem with you today at all. I want to revisit a conversation from yesterday.
Sure.
Okay. Would you rather play the Celtics with or without Tatum if you're a Knicks fan?
I'd rather play them without Tatum because I want the best chance to
win. Okay. You're a Jets fan. Would you rather play the Bills with or without Josh Allen?
Without Josh Allen.
Okay, and I can go on and on.
I get your point, so, yes.
Okay. So when a guy like Halliburton goes down in the fourth, right, follow logic. Okay, none of us are rooting for anybody to get hurt. We want everybody to go home to their families. We got that. That's already established, unless you're just, crazy person. But if somebody does get hurt, you're happy about they're not coming back out. You're happy about that. You might have a lot of money on the line. For me personally, ready? When he did the choke sign in the Garden when Reggie Miller did it, that bothered me, and that's why I question where's your passion. Like that bothers.
Yeah, I know. We don't have to go through it again. I know your point. We all get it. Yes, I want to win. All right, just to answer this ridiculous question, I want to win. Right, I'm a Knicks fan, I'm a Yankee fan, I'm a Giant fan, I'm whatever fan, you're a whatever fan. You want to win, no doubt. I want to beat the best. Part of me, and I'm a little bit different because I do want to go through the... It feels like it's not the same Astros team anymore, but I would love to beat the Astros on my way to a championship, but ultimately that's secondary to just winning the damn championship. So of course... If I'm the Yankees or if they go to play the Dodgers and Ohtani's hurt or Freddie Freeman's not there in the World Series because he's dealing with something, I'm not going to throw a pity party for the Dodgers. That's part of baseball. But what you want me to be happy that I'm not going to be happy because he gave the choke sign that I got to hate him now and that a part of me somehow was smiling as he was writhing on the floor. No. I'm just not going to... I don't know how you could feel that way. It's yes, oh, we all... You say casually and cavalierly, well, we all want people to go home. Nobody's rooting for injuries. I get it. But if it happens... like, no. That's not how I feel. I'm not overly excited at the prospect of Halliburton not being there for the Pacers. But having said that, I spent the entire show, what it felt like, a lot of the show yesterday, talking about how the Knicks are now... less inclined to have to worry about the Indiana Pacers because they don't have their star. And that's why going into this season, I think it's a huge season for the Knicks. It was before this injury. It certainly is now with one less team, in my estimation. Now, the season starts, and we'll see how good the Pacers are. But without Halliburton, I can't imagine. You can't think they're not taking a step backwards. Like, I think the Knicks have an opportunity in the Eastern Conference now, and I've talked about it. I'm open about it. We discussed the injury. No one's going to feel sorry for the Pacers. It's part of basketball. He's going to be fine. Hopefully he comes back and plays. Then even if he doesn't, he'll be fine with his life. I'm not, But it's gut-wrenching. Watch someone writhe on the floors, pounding the floor. I don't feel... It's not like, I feel good about it because he gave the Knicks a double choke sign. I'm sorry, I don't. That's part of the game. He's trash-talking. Everybody does it. Yeah, it bothered me. You know what bothered me? The shot went in. What bothered me is they lost the game. What bothered me is they blew a 17-point lead in the fourth quarter and a 12-point lead with 2.5 minutes left. I wasn't overly concerned with the hand gestures of the player on the Indiana Pacers. I was more concerned with how the hell they blew that game. And there's not an ounce of me that is happy that he's gone. Not an ounce of me. There's a reality to it. There's a reality to it, And I'm not going to hide from the reality or tell you that the Knicks didn't benefit from it. The Knicks have benefited from this. And I like it when the Knicks get benefited. You know, when things benefit the Knicks, that's good because I'm a Knicks fan. But that doesn't mean I'm happy that he got hurt. And it's certainly the only and the idea that you have to be happy about it or else you're not a passionate Knicks fan, because where is your anger at the double choke sign? I mean, come on. Stop. I dislike the guy in sports. Like, I don't know him. I don't wish him ill will. I don't hope bad things happen to him. I hope all the bad things in life happen to you and nobody but you. Like, that's not how I feel about Halliburton. I don't. But the reality is he's not going to be there next year. That benefits the Knicks. It benefits the rest of the Eastern Conference. And this is a huge year. And they're heading into it without a leader at the moment. And that concerns me. That's my issue. I am concerned that the most stable presence in an unstable franchise for the last 25 years was just unceremoniously showed the door because he couldn't beat a team that was right there to win an NBA championship against a team that now everybody's telling me is going to be a dynasty. They were right there. They were tied 16-16 of game 7 before their star went down. And that team, because they couldn't beat that team, who might have upended what now everyone's telling me is the Oklahoma City, and they're going to be a dynasty, and they're going to win this championship and next championship. And the Pacer team that almost dethroned the beginning of a dynasty. Because they couldn't beat that team, the coach had to go. Never mind the fact they beat the defending champs, the Celtics. Now that coach had to go because, you know, he didn't play the bench enough, and Landry Shamet would have changed everything. And the great Tyler Kolek would have brought them to such great heights that we wouldn't even know. We would be talking about a dynasty if they let Tyler Kolek play. But for whatever reason, he's been let go. And now whoever they hire, unless it's Jason Kidd, it's going to feel like their fourth or fifth choice. He's going to come in with championship or bust edict. He's going to have his superstar probably a little bit unhappy that the coach was fired, and that superstar's father, who's certainly unhappy that the coach got fired, on the bench with him. Unless, of course, his father is the coach. You got to figure out a way to make Karl Anthony Towns and Jalen Brunson play well together. And you got to do it in New York with a championship mandate, a meddling owner. I mean, it's just not easy. And I really wish they had some stability heading into this year, where, in my estimation, they have the best chance to win a championship since Game 7 of 1994. I know you got to play the whole thing out. You got to have the offseason. You got to play the playoffs and everything in the regular season, obviously. But like, it feels that way to me. Like, it's right there. It's to quote the great Aaron Boone, it's all right there in front of them. And instead of heading into it with a leader who's proven for them, with a guy who's taken them this far, they're going to go in with some new coach who you got to convince me is better. And right now, the two names I'm hearing, it's going to be tough to convince me they're better. But you're looking for me to like tell you, oh, man, yeah, I hate Halliburton. I'm glad to see him gone. I'm not. Just because it benefits them doesn't mean I'm overly happy at how it happened.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Happened.
Catch all the play-by-play with Susan Waldman and Dave Sims on the home of Yankees Radio, The Fan.
All right, we have reached the rapid-fire portion of our program in the last 10 minutes or so as we take until 5 o'clock in the warm-up show. 888-808-1019. Obviously, a lot on the baseball as our two baseball teams still in massive funks. The Mets lose 3-2 to the Braves. Have now lost 9 of 10. The Yankees lost the first game of the series out in Cincinnati, and they are now 8 and they are 3-8 in their last 11. 888-808-1019. Both teams struggling offensively, and particularly with runners in scoring position. The New York Yankees just cannot get a runner in for third. It is ugly to watch. Omar in Brooklyn, what's up, Omar?
How are you?
Good, how are you, buddy?
So, what I feel about Halliburton, I got to agree with Brett. I don't feel bad for him, because every time he is such a trash talker, such a bully. And he, when you set up basically like a choke sign that you already have it in plan, that how much hatred that he has for the Knicks and how much he loves Reggie Miller, and my hatred for Reggie Miller just doesn't die away. That was secondary. So all these atmosphere, do I feel bad for it? Okay, as an individual, I can feel bad for it. Man. But I have to take my feelings out as an individual, because how he is playing. Because that's what.
Okay.
Okay. That's what it is.
All right. Well, let's try and keep it family friendly. Okay.
Okay. So I thought this was allowed in the radio station.
No, it's. I mean, listen. I don't know. Maybe it is. Maybe it isn't. I ain't taking the chance. That's for sure.
Okay. Okay.
Good. As a competitor and a Knicks fan, I suppose I'll go as far to say that I'm glad that they have an easier path to the NBA Finals. Sure. But as an individual, you're telling me there was no part of you, as this guy is playing through in Game 7, playing through a calf strain, doing everything he can to win a championship for his team, and he blows his Achilles heel out and he's pounding the floor. There's not a part of you like, oh my God, that's freaking awful. Not a part of you.
I will come to, as an individual, I feel bad for
that's
a person.
It. That's what we're talking about.
And secondly, why I think it happens for some individuals, I always talk to my sons about Memphis Grizzlies point guard. What was his name? I forgot. Whenever he showed dunks every time, and every time there was an article written that he can get injured. And when he got injured last year, I used to tell him every time, why you have to showboat in a regular season every time and attack him? And that's why when Halliburton showboats and trash talk everybody, and it comes to haunt them. That's why I have come and realized, and no taunting, and as Boomer Esiason will say, that when it's a calf muscle, then it's Achilles is coming. Yes. The next thing is about to happen. So that
calf
means
Achilles.
That you are a trash talker. You don't respect nobody else, and you trash talk it. It comes to bite you.
Yeah,
sorry, Halliburton. Yeah, have a good year.
I'm sorry. Trash talking is part of the game. Larry Bird trash talked. Michael Jordan trash talked. Like. It's part of the game. It's a little bit of fun. Like, I got mad. You get mad in the moment, then you move on. They lost. They didn't lose because he was trash talking. And the choke thing was a nod to Reggie Miller. There's no doubt. I don't know if he hates the Knicks necessarily. It was a nod to Reggie Miller. I didn't care in the moment. I was mad the shot went in. That's what I cared about. I was cared whether or not his foot was on the line. I didn't care that he was doing the double choke sign. It's then don't choke if you don't want someone doing the choke sign. And again, say whatever you fine. You want to tell me you're happy he got hurt? Okay, you're happy he got hurt. I don't know. I don't agree. I'm not happy he's hurt. I'm glad. As a Knicks fan, I'm looking forward to this year without worry. With at least as of right now, considering the Indiana Pacers to be compromised. Yes, that's fair. Like Forrest Gump said with money, one less thing to worry about. Like, that's fair. But in that moment, as I'm watching him pound the floor, knowing his season's done for him, like the idea you can't feel sorry for him, and then plus, like, let's be totally honest, we're sports fans. I want to watch a good Game 7. I want to watch to see what happened. I wanted to see what these two teams did when they were going full strength against each other. That sucked that he got hurt. I was rooting against him. I hope he had a miserable game. It looked like he was on his way to having a good one. And as much as I'd rather, you know, have an easier path because I want to win a championship, certainly for the Knicks, who haven't won one since 73, I'm not overly happy that Halliburton's gone. Not overly happy. Oh, yeah. That's what you get. That's karma, baby. The basketball god said enough with the choke sign, so they took your Achilles. Mitchell and Fort Lee. What's up, Mitch?
Hello?
Hello?
Hello, Big Mac. How you doing, my friend?
Good, Mitch.
It was
very good to see you on Saturday. Yeah, it was very nice to meet you, buddy.
And also, your kids behave themselves very well, Big Mac. I was watching them for a while when you were on the air, so it was great. But I also, before I get to my point, it was amazing when you said about Roman Reigns is there. Everyone, you had a full house listening to you, and then everything you know, everybody left.
Yeah, no, Seth Rollins. Yeah, Seth Rollins came. Everyone was standing there watching us. We had a nice packed house. You're right. It was probably the largest crowd forever, you know, for the few minutes that I had a crowd. But and then all of a sudden, Seth Rollins came walking through, and including my sons, everybody left me. Everybody got up and started walking to go see Seth do the interview at the booth right next to us. Yes, I got upstage by Seth Rollins.
Okay, two things. With Omar first calling, I think that's really disgusting what he said. Listen, if they want to taunt, they want to have their fun, it's fine. But the guy gave his all, and, you know, if he would have played that game, it would have been a lot closer than it was. So, you know what, that's just really sick what Omar can say about a guy getting injured. Nobody wants to get injured. And if you want to win a championship, with your full team, not because they're less because someone gets hurt. That's how I look at it.
Disagree, but at the same time, I want to win. So whatever makes it easier for my team to win, like if you just put it straight up, would I rather, like he put as a Jet fan or a Giant fan, like would I rather play Philadelphia without Saquon Barkley? Yeah, why not? I'd rather have a better chance to win. Would I rather, you know, if I'm a Jet fan, play the Bills without Allen? Yeah, I guess I'd rather play without Allen. I want to win.
Right. Okay, so getting out to the Yankees. The bigger problem that I have with the Yankees is, when is Boone and the Yankees going to play the same players day in and day out? When you get a player that's hot, after he starts getting hot, he sits him. Wells was hot a few days ago, he sits him. Goldsmith was hot, he sits him. Bellinger plays, he has a pretty good game, he does it, he sits him. If there's no consistency on this team, at least he's playing the one player that I always said that if you give him a chance, he'll help the team obey you, and he's doing pretty good right now, so he's playing every day to play in second base. That's fine. But I just don't get it. Every day where we're giving all these guys a rest, all these other teams don't give teams rest. Not... They play the same player in and out. And it's very frustrating.
But Mitch, one, not every team plays them every day, and two, they have too many guys. They have guys who deserve stars. So who should sit every day? Should Ben Rice sit every day? Is that your solution, that Goldschmidt should play and Ben Rice should sit every day? Grisham should sit every day. Dominguez should sit every day. Like, he's rotating the guys around. And again, Bellinger got three hits in this game yesterday. So it's not like he's been ruined. Goldschmidt still had a good game the other day and helped win. They're rotating those guys around. And this idea that, like, oh my God, you're going to take a guy out of a funk. They sit once a week. If every single Yankee can hit the day after a day off, they have a problem because there's a day off once a week. We make too much of it. Man, oh man. Make too much of it. Thank you guys for calling. Thank you for listening. I appreciate it. Fleek's on the other side. Thank you, sir. The warm-up show is next. Enjoy the rest of your Tuesday morning. We'll catch you tomorrow again, 2 a.m. I'm out of here. Bye-bye.
Sports Radio 101.9 FM. WFAN.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Service is not available in all areas.